Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm your trusty host, Chris McCabe, Leah McHugh. Not on with us this week, but I am here with Adam Malott of Better Media. How are you doing?
Great, Chris. Great to be here as always. Appreciate you having me on the show. How are you?
Yeah, a couple months overdue, but we're catching up with you. Doing okay. November is always crazy hectic. And I guess we were talking about this a moment ago before starting to record. It's more hectic if you start making crazy last minute changes to things, right? Is it sort of like, don't start touching things out of a compulsion or out of a feeling of agitation, thinking you can improve something if it's going to result in breaking things, right?
Yeah, that is a great call out with the timing of the year right now.
How do you keep people from pressuring you or beginning conversations that end in a brick wall when they want to make last minute changes? Do you just say, stay the course, we spent 3 months talking about this, or is there something else you use to guide them along?
That's a good question. I would say expectation setting there, you know, leading up to Q4 is probably the most important in terms of like a client relationship aspect. We need to be on the same page and all systems go heading into this time of year. So I generally paint the premise that if we are going to test any listing adjustments, title adjustments, pricing adjustments predominantly, it needs to be prior to generally this time, T5, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and ultimately into gifting season. This is the absolute last time of the year you want to be ads suppressed or just suppressed in general, right? So should definitely be aligned at this point.
I'm assuming if ads get botched that several people leapfrog you and become much more visible and you plummet quickly.
Exactly. It's a great way to minimize, well, lose visibility in general at the brand level if one of your flagship products gets suppressed, but also is directly impacted, right? And we should, in theory, as we always do at this time of year, see an upward trajectory in terms of sales across the board up until about December 20th, 21st or so.
Yeah.
So knowing that, you really need to walk a fine line if you're going to make any adjustments here at this time of year.
Have you seen horror stories or heard of people who said, I did blank last year and I really hurt myself and I don't want to do that again this year. So we're going to work with you, but I want to make sure that you've got a plan to make sure that we don't have those kinds of mistakes. Does that happen like every September, every October?
Yeah, I would say there's always one, right? And a lot of times at this time of year, it's largely pricing that will be the main issue in terms of why a listing gets ad suppressed. I know on the vendor side, we're seeing that a little bit more often with price issues due to change and then Amazon coming back and saying, hey, your ASIN is no longer able to deliver ads until pricing is realigned or what have you. So that's something that we're working directly with Amazon to expedite across a handful of brands who may have changed their pricing in the last few weeks and are now ad suppressed. But again, to your point, Chris, these things need to be, in my opinion, planned out and really considered if you're going to make these changes here, you know, October on, we'll say.
Are people getting harassed a lot about price parity, like a price found on your own site, let's say, that's different from what it's listed at on Amazon? Or is that not built into the messaging? What does the actual messaging say about the price?
So the pricing needs to be consistent on Amazon versus other retail platforms. So I would say that's not a huge issue if you're an experienced seller, of course.
Right.
In full transparency right now, I'm sure we know a lot of sellers like to, you know, discount pricing early, increase pricing later, run deals in Q4, right? So, you know, playing with that sort of dynamic is always risky business. But, you know, again, I would say the experienced seller side generally has this roadmap outlined, right? We know what deals we're going to run if we are going to, in fact, change pricing in Q4 at the most important time of year, when we push that through, and is everything calculated out properly to where we are going to deal with the suppression. So,
yeah, I mean, no, it's fine. I mean, I don't know how many of your clients or what percentage have account managers, but how much time do you spend sharing notes with them or in the planning stages? Do their account managers get hands-on, get involved, or do they find out that they're working with an ads agency and then they back off a little bit? Is there any trend there?
Good question. On the Amazon account manager front, that's always something that we at Better Media like to stay close to in terms of a relationship. I know I referenced vendor, but that's direct outreach on my side in terms of, hey, we need this expedited, or we need this case pushed to the top or what have you, right? So I would say that we actually ramp up in terms of communication and alignment with our ad managers. So they have a complete understanding of when these changes are happening, right? When listing changes are happening or pricing changes or what have you, when deals are being run. So they know what to look out for and they know what to flag as well if anything is funky from a listing standpoint or a delivery standpoint.
Are there any wacky stories from things, the unexplained, things just not working and you can't get an answer if it's technical or if somebody touched the wrong thing and it broke? I mean, anything like that? I only ask because I've started seeing some emails coming in from people who are like, things aren't working the way they're supposed to.
Sure.
But if it's on the ad side, of course, I'm less familiar with it than you are.
Sure. You know, I would say on the vendor side, not to beat a dead horse here, but on the vendor side, we're seeing ad suppression issues due to price. Mm-hmm. Although those price points or costs have not been changed across specific products for months on end at this point. So
yeah,
that is a direct outreach to our vendor managers who can generally expedite that mm-hmm. process. But, you know, in full transparency, Chris, you're always the second person I reach out to when these things happen. You know, time is of the essence here. And in November, I know that on our side, we're dealing with that actually with a handful of brands right now, yeah. brands who have not changed pricing and for whatever reason are not eligible to deliver ads on Amazon. So I think that is the reoccurring theme, at least at this point of the year.
Yeah, I'm hoping the first person you reach out to is an Amazon ads executive.
Always is, of course.
That would make more sense than reaching out to me first. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
What about during Cyber 5? Are there that many issues that crop up that require troubleshooting? Or is it kind of like, we're just evaluating how successful our strategies were and then hoping for the best, and then we'll reassess after it's over?
You know, the scariest thing in my mind during peak events, something that I'm sure every ad manager at one point or another has dealt with, is a payment failure,
right?
Which is the immediate heart attack. You log into the ad console and you see the big red banner at the top, and then mm-hmm. you have to go try and chase down anybody to try and solve that, right? On the client yeah. side, I guess not necessarily on the account manager side, but just ensuring that everything is buttoned up prior to these events, I think, is really important. So generally speaking, if you have a good relationship with your account manager or your vendor manager, you know, in my instance, a lot of my account managers have my phone number, right? So if they see anything
right.
during these periods, they can shoot me a text and let me know what we need to solve at this point.
And hopefully they do, you know, they take advantage of the direct contact.
Yeah, I think streamlined communication, you know, across any facet of retail media at this point of the year is very important. On the compliance side, out of curiosity, is there anything that you're seeing right now that you guys have a reoccurring theme with, or what does it look like?
Well, it's interesting during those 4 or 5 days of peak sales, where sometimes account health will just randomly reach out using the main number, and people are so busy heads down with stuff that the call might not show up or somebody misses it, and it could be something really important. So I've been trying to get sellers ready for these random phone calls, because a lot of people are tuning this out and they're just not answering calls they don't recognize, which you shouldn't do, because it could be, this is kind of a crazy thing to say, but it could be Amazon wanting to mention like your listing's about to get flagged or go down, or it could just be the account health teams. You know, you've got 72 hours to clean up your account health, and they're just oblivious to all the stuff that you're actually doing during Cyber 5. So, I mean, that's kind of one thing. I don't remember saying anything about this last year, but Amazon's really leaning into these phone calls to respond to your email. It could be an escalation email for like a compliance issue that, of course, you're dealing with the compliance teams and they're copying and pasting you with responses that don't tell you anything, or you've got unresolved performance notifications for anything under the sun and you're appealing them in Seller Central, and they send you these copy and paste responses that either say, this isn't enough information, but they don't say what enough information is.
Sure.
Or just like, we are still continuing to review this, we'll get back to you, no time frame. Very open-ended, right? It's always like they leave themselves enough leeway to take as much time as they want to get back to you. Meanwhile, you're on the other side on pins and needles, wondering what the heck's going to happen. And then another kind of interesting answer on my side would be, sometimes they don't really time it that well. They meant to tell you about something in October and they don't send the messages out till mid-November. And it just all piles on unintentionally, I guess, on their side. But suddenly you're scrambling to address things, believing that it might impact your account health right before Cyber Five. So we're making people aware of that because you just don't know. You can't always predict that that might happen. I hope there's some future where Amazon gives you a warning shot or a heads up. Like in a few weeks, we're going to be doing blank, you know, kind of like what they did with the Inform Act. Do you remember that last year?
I do.
You know, like a 6 week head up, 6 weeks heads up. I wish they would do that for more things, something similar to that, where you at least know something's coming or it might happen so that you're not caught off guard.
On the compliance side, out of curiosity from an ad standpoint, is there any adjustments, you know, account adjustments, listing adjustments, anything like that, that you recommend not pushing through at this time of year because of a risk of suppression?
I mean, trademarked keywords, go word by word, make sure you're not inserting anything into back-end keywords or adding something to your detail page. The best examples are people were trying to buffer up their listings right before like Prime Day. And some of them were inserting trademark keywords into the detail page title. And if it wasn't the title, it was somewhere else. But the bottom line was those got flagged. I mean, there's sophisticated software out there that either IP firms or IP attorneys are using that capture this stuff, and they can get your listings taken down pretty quickly if they think it's even borderline. And there's also abuse. Sometimes they're making it look like you're violating their trademarks or their IP in some fashion just for 48 hours to get you taken down through Black Friday, Cyber Monday, whatever. And it's just like, be on your toes for that. It's not so much driven by Amazon itself. It's more of like black hat, but some people provoke those attacks by just inserting these words last minute and getting themselves either flagged by Amazon's bots or by a competitor who sees an avenue of attack where they can report you for something that wasn't there 2 days earlier, you know? And so I think people had half of the equation correct last year. They were like, well, we're going to run this by an IP attorney or run it by somebody like me to see if the listing's likely to get flagged. Yes or no, we'll make our decision then. But they weren't thinking about the abuse side, which is if your competition's watching you closely and they think you made a flagrant mistake or even just a gray area mistake, they might try to weaponize it. And I think this year people have a much better understanding of that. So if you don't make any changes, you don't give anyone that opportunity, right?
I'd say on the ad side, you know, that's not necessarily linear, but
right.
You know, we see the same thing on like the sponsored brand messaging. It would be one good example. You need to be very careful with how you incorporate ad copy into your sponsored brand ads at this time of year. You know, same kind of concept where if you use, as an example, like save now this holiday season and your start date and end date doesn't fit in between Amazon's criteria that, you know, it's described as a holiday season, your ad may never deliver, right? And a lot of ads specialists or account managers will get these ads set up prior to peak time or event days. And the last thing that you're going to want to do is go and, you know, have to edit 55 sponsored brand headlines by hand because you're in a scramble because you didn't, you know, take a look at the sponsored brand compliance or, you know, approved messaging, right? So just make sure that your ducks are in a pond on that side as well.
Yeah. And I just tell everyone to stay on their toes for anything weird that happens because sometimes it can be something that can be fixed quickly if you know how to bump things up to the top of the food chain and get eyeballs and attention on it. And we give other various words of advice, like make sure you say, we think this is happening to other sellers too. It's not just happening to us, because that'll trip some alarms where they start wondering, oh, is this actually, I mean, I wouldn't say make that up if it's definitely only happening to you, but do a little research and it probably is happening to more people than just you, depending on what it is. You know what I mean?
100%. I think the LinkedIn community, the Amazon LinkedIn community is something that I lean into pretty aggressively at this time of year. I had posted just a handful of weeks ago about the ad suppression issue that's specific, that seems specific to Vendor Central at this point because of high pricing that has been unchanged. And the best answers that I've gotten actually were direct outreach from the Amazon LinkedIn community.
So people with ad suppression issues, let's say for sake of argument, they don't have an account manager Are they just pushing it on you? Like, sort it out, message your people. Is that kind of how it plays out?
Yeah, in general, or mm-hmm. we'll try and generally expedite that case to somebody in our network, right? Mm-hmm. You guys as a great example. You know, I would say you do have a bit of help with the ads manager side of things, especially if it's ads specific or, mm-hmm. or the suppression is only on the advertising side. That only goes so far. Generally, they'll have you create a case and you don't hear anything in a handful of days and the ad manager can expedite it. But this is ultimately a reason why it's good to stay close to your vendor manager, your Amazon account manager in general. You know, the better relationship you have with that individual, generally, the more apt they are to try and push these things through, especially right. with the high priorities.
Yeah. And hopefully this time around, knock on wood, there won't be too many crazy unexplained things that trip people up. Once it's all over, do you just schedule time with all your clients and kind of run some numbers, go over success rates for what you've tried, think about what you can try? Do you just shift straight into Q1 conversations?
You know, largely is brand specific. I would say one of the big areas of focus on our side is extracting what did work, what did not get us flagged, right? I think that's pretty important. But, you know, ultimately we want to, from these high traffic periods, extract learnings and ultimately implement them into a new year plan, right? Or a Q1 of 2025 plan. So
yeah,
high level. Yeah, I would say that that's where we start.
And then maybe just one random question to round us out. In terms of these Unboxed events, do people come at you and say, I had a great conversation at Unboxed. I want to take what that person at Amazon told me and build my whole strategy around it, but you weren't there for the conversation. Do you ever have to like reconstruct, or do you just say, who did you talk to? I'll try to get a meeting with them directly and find out what they were telling you at the show.
Sure. So I love that question, by the way. That's
yay.
It's a unique question that I don't think I've been asked. So I would say there's always the shiny tool, right? Or the shiny new object in Amazon that people get really excited about, but do not have the understanding of if they should implement said shiny tool. You know, I'll use DSP, Amazon DSP as an example. When it was rolled out, there still is a lot of excitement and a lot of, you know, question marks, right? Brands are wondering if this is right for them, if they're going to see this massive boost on return or what have you. And it's our job on the agency side to kind of play middleman, right? Between Amazon and those who are rolling out said shiny tool and the client side and those who may not have the time or investment into understanding what that tool really does or what it impacts. So I really enjoy those conversations. I enjoy digging in at the brand level and trying to identify, hey, is this worth testing for this specific brand in this specific category, considering all of the variables that line up after the fact. So yeah, if anyone has questions on any of those, you know, Unboxed or accelerate rollouts, right? I know sponsored products, AMC integration is a big topic of discussion right now. Mm-hmm. We're always happy to answer any questions you guys may have there.
Yeah. How do people reach you? How do people find you? Do you want them to wait until Cyber 5 is over?
No, you know, we're used to the hustle and taking what's thrown at us gracefully, I'll call it. Right. So the best place to reach me is LinkedIn. You can send me an email. adam@bettermedia.com, btrmedia.com. But I'm very active and responsive on LinkedIn. So should you guys have any questions or need anything, I'm all ears and happy to help.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thanks for everything you contributed here today. BTR Media, Better Media, Adam Milot, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks, Chris.
Care.